This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. Power Talk, the masterclass.
It is 11:34 and it's a masterclass of a different kind today. We're going to talk about an issue that most of us are viscerally aware of, right? It's insensitive in a way to term it black tax, but somebody had to name this system of extended members of families across South Africa relying heavily on one or two relatives to subsidize their income and the kinds of social pressures this brings about. And what we thought is there a way in which black tax could be turned on its head to make it less of a tax and more of an investment? So obviously in many family settings, the term black tax, even though it's not articulated directly as such, it exists and it implies that it's the responsibility of the more educated, affluent, and successful members of the extended family to carry the rest of the brood. Now, the concept itself is often touted as meaning a form of payback or appreciation for the sacrifices made by family members in order to get that one individual ahead. And so they must now contribute to lifting other people out of poverty and to prioritize them ahead of their career in some cases. The thing is, it can be quite burdensome, it can be exploitative, and it can be emotionally draining for those expected to carry the heavy lifting. And so we thought to ourselves, you know, maybe it's time to review the notion of black tax and attach to it some pretty strict and stringent terms of engagement, timeframes, expectations, KPIs, as it were. We're joined by the authors Sue Nyati, and she's penned a book, How to Handle Black Tax Like a Pro. And we're joined by a financial analyst and also an author, Ndumi Hadebe is the author of How to Handle Black Tax Like a Pro. And Sue Nyati is also an author and a financial analyst. And the two join us now. Ndumi, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And Sue, good morning.
Good morning, Lerato. Thank you for having me on your show.
All right. So let's start off, Ndumi, with the fact that the term black tax, it irks people. It's often deemed quite offensive and insensitive because why would helping your family be regarded as a tax, like something like a punishment?
Well, the issue there is because there's a sense of entitlement. Maybe, let's say, a person is being given an impression where they say, well, we helped you, so you need to help us. That was never an arrangement. So the fact that there is a sense of entitlement and the pressure of being good, you know, doing good and being good, in brackets, Ubuntu, mm-hmm. then people feel like, well, if I actually am to say something about what my needs are, mm-hmm. Linking to your introduction, what my needs or my wants are, I will be judged as this person that is breaking the norm. Everybody mm-hmm. ahead of me has done it. People around me are doing it. They are renovating their mother's houses. And I'm saying, I'm not going to get a loan to renovate anybody's house, right? Mm-hmm. And then you looked at as this person that is not wanting to do good. Mm-hmm. So it becomes a burden, not only financially, but also mentally, mm-hmm. because then it means one has to choose someone else's needs over theirs.
Right. But is it an unwritten rule that once you are the more successful member of the family, you must carry the load? Or is it, you know, a pressure that even that individual puts on themselves to say, do you know what, I can't be living here in Danefern with a swimming pool and a tennis court and my aunt can barely afford groceries for the month. I have to do something.
Absolutely. And in fact, the book is about the practice of boundaries. And I'm saying that people doesn't mean they can just simply walk away from their loved ones and leave everybody abandoned around their needs, etc. It's just that there has to be a transparency. There has to be room and space for a person to say, this is where I draw the line. If Lerato's black tax budget is 3,000 rand, it should be available to you to exercise the option of saying, I have reached my black tax budget, and it doesn't mean that Lerato is broke. I advocate against people saying, I can't give you the money because I don't have it right now. I can't give you the money because I'm broke. No, you are not broke, Lerato. You have the money, but it is allocated to your savings, to your investment, to nurturing Lerato and her needs, her wants, etc. So it's not that we must abandon our families. What I'm saying is that we cannot invest so much in black tax, so much that we actually pay expensive loans to in the quest of black tax, because it means then future generations will be struggling with the same concept.
We'll talk about those boundaries in a second. Let's bring in Sue here. There is a saying that says, when the tide comes in, it lifts all boats. So when you start to do a little bit well, something in you must want to, you know, contribute there or here, so that eventually we are all coming out of the situation in small ways. But what are interesting ways to do it, to remove this idea that it's a burden and to make it feel a little bit more constructive, Sue?
So let me look at it from a different angle and approach from a different angle. The reason why a lot of people feel burdened, right, is because they're not living in Daneford. They're not earning six-figure salaries. So it could be someone earning 4,000 rand who's sharing a room in Soweto with another person, but they still need to contribute from their meager salary of 4,000 rand. And that's where the resentment comes. Giving, when you give, when your cup is also full, giving others and assisting and, you know, doing and meeting your black tax obligations is much easier. But when you're also coming from nothing and the expectation to help others is on you, that's where the nastiness and the resentment arises from black tax. Because, see, the thing is, the expectation is not just on people, affluent people. It's on everyone, whether you earn 2 cents or 2,000 rands or 2 million. Do you get what I'm saying? And so it affects everyone. So you're right. And I think in my essay in the burden or Ubuntu, in my contribution was, the only way we can eradicate black tax is if we start having generational wealth, like you're talking about uplifting. As we become more affluent, that need for handouts becomes less and less.
So here's the thing, you used a wonderful saying, which is, when you fill your cup, and what's happening is that everybody's drawing from a well, but not replenishing that well. And so whether that person is living in Daneford or Alexander, people are comfortable to deplete that one individual. People are quite happy to keep taking and taking, but they never give back. There's never, ever a reciprocity. And I think this is where the resentment issue comes in. So how do you set boundaries that sort of say, no, or these are my limits, or I can no longer keep giving what I can't afford to give?
So here's the thing. For me, I think what you give must also uplift someone, not in the sense, like, I find that anything that has to do with, you know, little like a little pocketful here and a pocketful there is not sustainable, right? What we should aim to do is give something that will equip that next person to be able to stand on their own two feet. That way, instead of we're not depleting the wealth, by the time they are able, they have capacity. You know, they can also dig their own well. And now we have lots of, we need to dig more wells. We shouldn't be draining the one well. And so this is what we say, our giving must also be intentional and it should be constructive.
Okay. I like this. So Ndumi, I want to bring you back into this thing. Giving must be constructive. So when I was speaking to the team, I was saying, what are we talking about here? And an example was brought about where a relative asked for money to top up a Tupperware stock fell.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
And then another example was used for contributing to somebody's medical degree. And I said, yeah, an investment is when you commit that for the next 5 years, I'm going to help to pay the school fees for Buseletso, because at the end of 5 years, she's coming out of this thing a doctor. But the Tupperware Club, I don't want to participate in a Tupperware Club. It's not a necessity. It's not important. And is.
Yes. I agree with Sue on the part of it being intentional and ever so deliberate, because if it is like that, then it means it's structured. And if it's deliberate, then it offers families an opportunity to actually talk about black tax. And the recipient of black tax, let's have a transparent conversation about what are my deliverables? Once I've passed, do I owe anybody? Do I owe you as the person that's been paying for me, right? So then it takes away the ad hocness of the elephant in the room and the ad hocness of black tags. Because how can something so big and that is affecting pretty much everyone be an elephant in the room, right? So the contribution to things like your stock sales and so on, you have to use your own discretion if that aligns with you, if that aligns with your needs, with your wants, and therefore your personal truth. And if it doesn't, and you know that to be true, it's actually misaligned to give someone money out of resentment or while you are being resentful about giving them money. So you may as well actually have an honest conversation and say, you know, because I love you and I just think contributing to the stock file, it doesn't align with me. I'll rather help my niece get to school because it will help the family get out of the poverty cycle. So the issue for me, Lerato, is that we are not talking about it. We are complaining about it on social media. And therefore, the recipient doesn't know how we feel as the payers of black tax. We don't know how they feel as the recipient. Mm.
When we started the conversation, Ndumi, you used the word entitlement. There are no boundaries because they're entitlements. And when we take it away even from the issue of black tax, now I'm going to be very controversial, and we start looking at policies at government level, even a 350 social distress and relief grant. People who are critical of these kinds of pro-poor interventions use the word entitlement, that there's some kind of a culture of entitlement that's creeping into South Africa. How do you feel about that? Is it true?
To a certain degree, people do feel like they're being owed help and support. So in me having written this book, I could well be entitled that my family and relatives must buy a copy. Not necessarily. No one owes me support. No one owes me anything, essentially. So I feel that entitlement is something that can exist, but you and I are the enablers if we support it and condone it. So how do we stop it? By having this transparent conversation and taking a risk of being labeled the snob, the person that is strict, the person that breaks the rules of the family or whatever the case may be. Yeah. But it may mean that you have to say, I mean, boundaries with time. I'm not available to do this because I need to rest. Right. People want you to come out just because they've decided that they're having a dinner on a Friday night. Yeah. But if until you actually close the tap, no one is going to save Lerato from Lerato, essentially.
This is so true. And this doesn't just apply to black tax. Sue Nyati, I want to bring you into the conversation. Firstly, your views on this idea that South Africa is breeding a nation of entitlements. People will sit and not save up to buy bricks and say, I'm waiting for an RDP house. And I know I'm being harsh here, but that's anecdotally, that's how people are feeling about what's going on in the country, is that everybody wants somebody to do something for them and there's no more personal responsibility. Is that fair?
Or a fair assessment, rather. It's a fair observation, I think, because you see it everywhere, and it's not just with black tax. I mean, you see it in relationships. People wanting to be taken care of, you know, by partners that they're dating. You know, people want to be feeling entitled to an allowance, you know, trip.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just, there is that sense of entitlement. And it's really, it's pervasive, and it's not just, you know, And this is why people are actually now overburdened. Because now not only do you have to worry about a girlfriend allowance, you also need to worry about putting the roof over your mother's head. Do you see what I'm saying? Mm. And that's where it stems from. Nobody wants to take accountability for their own welfare and well-being anymore. People want to be taken care of.
So Ndumi raises the important issue of communication and saying, when the financial year begins, if you are that individual who's targeted to be the benefactor, you need to sit everybody down and say, here's what's going to happen. I have at my disposal, for argument's sake, 5,000 rands. That's what I have to play around with. But I'm going to tell you what my 5,000 rands is going to do. It's not topping up a Stokvel contribution. It's not taking out a funeral policy. It's going to pay every month creche for your child until you sort out maintenance issues with the father. And when you've sorted that out, I withdraw my contribution. And it needs to be very clear. And it needs to say to the other person, you actually need to address the father who ran away. I'm giving you a year, 2 years to sort it out. Whatever you need to do. And at the end of 2 years, we'll review this conversation. It needs that kind of courage, is what I'm hearing Ndumi saying, Sue.
Yeah, I hear that. But people being people, you know, people, you'll set your conditions. And this is why they say whenever you give money, it shouldn't be conditional. Because oftentimes it'll breed more resentment towards you and how that money is spent. Because oftentimes what you intend, right, sometimes it doesn't happen. You'll discover that you've been paying fees for someone who dropped out.
Mm.
And they've been using the money, you know, for fun. And then what? So also as well, I think as the giver, you must be in a position to say, okay, whatever happens to this money, even if it doesn't come back, I'm okay with that. In the same way, if that student does graduate, becomes a medical doctor, and they pay for it and then put other, you know, children behind them through school. So it can work either way. But all I'm saying, as the giver, you don't expect anything in return. You know, that's why they say give with that open heart.
And Ndumi, your response to this one, that sometimes just give for the sake of giving. If you set conditions, you might be disappointed.
Well, I partly agree that we can agree that I will give you the money for you to get through school, but I have to put a timeline to it. If your degree is 3 years, then I'm only going to do that for 3 years. And whether you've passed or not, it's neither here nor there. If that is my boundary, I'm saying after 3 years, I'm no longer paying. So it's making going back to your example about the crash fees and saying you resolve the issue with the father of your child. That's just more of an additional thing. Really, you can say the crash fees are 2,000 rand. Mm. This is how much I'm going to contribute for the next 12 years, for the next 12 months. Mm. And I do hope by the end of the 12 months, you would have resolved the issue. So if you don't put a timeline to it, it means then that you might actually end up having to pay this money for an ongoing period. And whether they actually use the money for crash fees or not, I think it becomes neither here nor there. The point is, it's not coming to your investment in any case. It's not coming back to you, right? You've gifted them from a place of love and compassion. You want to help them. And if they don't want to help themselves, all the more reason why you shouldn't be giving them your money 12 months later, right?
So you're saying that the condition should be less emotional, social. It should just be as clinical as a time frame. I'm only doing this for 3 years. Whatever happens at the end of 3 years, Andizi, it doesn't concern me, but you've got a 3-year window to get it together.
Absolutely. And there must be room for you to actually have that conversation within the family. Because throughout this research of writing Handle Black Text Like a Pro is realizing that I will coach someone only for them to find out that when they've had the conversation, the father turns around and say, I didn't realize. You told me you work for this big company in Joburg. I actually thought you had a lot of money. And it's the not having the conversation and having the conversation in the way that is loving and compassionate, that is non-accusatory, that is not destructive to the family structure.
Okay.
That is what's killing us, because we are not communicating. Okay. Therefore, we don't even know how our loved ones feel about this.
So the conversation helps to eliminate insinuations, falsehoods, stereotypes,
Absolutely.
And assumptions that people have about you.
Exactly.
Because I'll tell you, one of the worst assumptions is people think if you don't have children, it means you're just playing with your money.
Absolutely.
So and that one drives me crazy. But we'll be back.
Power Talk with Lira Dombele.
Yeah, it's a sensitive one today. Khumutso Nsu says this topic, Lerato, is so important. I too feel that help must come with categories. I shouldn't help on things you got yourself into for your own pleasure. It should be for unavoidable and important things, says Khumutso. Silo? Silo, good morning.
Yes?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Good. Look, whoever came with the term black checks, because that thing, it breaks family values. My mother, my parents, it's an obligation to look after them. It's not a choice. My siblings, it's an obligation. It is not a choice. My girlfriend, it's a choice. If I have to put a roof on top of my mother, and then I have to pay names for my girlfriend, the roof comes first. I have to decide what is important. It's a question of choosing which one is important here.
Okay.
Because I cannot leave my family, go into the dire straits, and then I'm having fun there.
Yeah.
Like an little okay. Brazilian.
Okay, thanks, Ntate Silo. Paseka?
Hi, Lerato. Just a quick one, two questions. Number one, how do we now explain to Umkhulu Ugogo Kuthi what is generational wealth? What is financial literacy? What is even research to say? Research says that, you know. And number two, what is the extent of family? Are we referring to the traditional basic unit of umama no tata and my siblings?
Okay.
Are we including siblings, I mean relatives or even in-laws?
Thanks, Paseka. And Jeff?
Hi, Lerato.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hey, the term black tax, Lerato, it's not a good word, ne? Because I've seen someone started getting pressure because of that word, and the person was paying a funeral policy for the family. You understand? But after getting that pressure of something being called what money, what, they started not paying. And there was a funeral at home. It became a problem.
Yeah.
And everyone was referring to him, asking what happened to the policy. He stopped paying that policy.
Yeah, because of the communications. Thanks for that, Jeff. Sue, I'm going to start with you because you're a financial analyst. And here's the issue. Financial literacy. You know, Ndumi says have a conversation and be open about your financial position. But this is also literacy, because if I say, listen, I don't have much money to spare, but my quantum of income is still regarded as a lot of money, they'll never sympathize with me, even if I'm having an honest conversation.
No, it's true, Lerato, and I think it starts in school. I always feel that our curriculum, you know, doesn't teach us life skills that we really need, like money, how to handle money, our relationship with money. We never things around self-esteem, self-love, because that's where your boundaries, you develop boundaries from, which was what Ndumi is trying to talk about. If you can establish boundaries, it's easier to then say no without feeling bad, without feeling guilty. And those are the things that we're not being taught at school. This should be taught from primary school. You know, people should be taught about money, what it means, what is money. And then we wouldn't have these uncomfortable silences around money, these fights around money. Because every time we start to speak about it, just gets awkward.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be.
And Ndumi, a final question. How broad is the concept of family? Are we talking your immediate family? Are we adding your cousins and their children and their children?
Wow, a big question. And I think there you get to decide for yourself. I think in agreement with Sue that when you are comfortable with yourself, you have a healthy and loving relationship with the self, then you can be clear, crystal clear what your boundaries are in the various areas of life. And then you get to decide how far you go based on your own needs. I will say this again as a broken record, your needs and wants, even your thoughts and feelings, because those inform your personal truth. Right. Most of us right now are practicing black text out of alignment with ourselves.
Yeah.
Therefore, out of alignment with money itself.
Right.
But I don't know if we've got enough time to answer the question of how do you introduce this new concept of boundaries now
very
to the family.
Briefly, in 10 seconds.
In 10 seconds. Well, in a non-threatening environment, outside of a request of black text and outside of an existing conflict, have a family meeting. And of course, if you want to know the how, then you need to buy the book.
Yeah, and the book is called How to Handle Black Text Like a Pro. Ladies, if I could just implore on your goodwill, I don't know what you're doing next week, Tuesday at this time. Could we do a round two? And this time, can we focus on generational wealth? You can tell the producers if you agree, but I think that's where we need to go next. But just in terms of the conversation, Dr. Nim says, Lerato, I love this topic of money spending and lending we're having this morning. And yes, people shouldn't assume you've got more money to spend because you don't have kids. We all have bills to pay. It's so frustrating, the assumptions people make. But I want to end on this tweet. Dr. Musa Mayaise says, I view the positive side of honoring my parents. I do what I do to show them that I appreciate them. I've never viewed it as a tax. I see it as an appreciation. Dr. Musa, I concur. I think none of us are arguing about giving money and spending money on the parents who raised us. For me, I could give everything, the clothes on my back. It's when those cousins and their children and their children and their boyfriends step into the picture. That's when that thing feels like a tax. And that's really what we need to address. So thank you, Ndumi Hadebe. Thank you, Sunyati. Thank you, Power FM listeners. Next week, we're doing generational wealth on the back of this conversation. Thank you all for tuning in. It's time for the news, and then it's the fabulous Faith with Power Lunch.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.